Only the best will do for mom. So make Whole Foods Market your Mother's Day destination. Shop the floral department for vibrant blooms like tulips, orchids, peonies, and expert-crafted bouquets. Then head to the wellness and beauty department and give mom a spa-like experience with scented candles and more. And if you're hosting brunch or dinner, order flavorful Whole Foods Market catering by May 9th. Celebrate Mother's Day with Whole Foods Market in store and online.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Off the ball. Rugby.
Obviously, it's a shocking refereeing decision.
The other thing as well, I don't know if anyone picked up on the Bulls' first try. Did no one mention the quick tap taken off your man's knee?
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the ball.
In partnership with Rockshore. Bringing you League of Ireland football, a league of our own.
Get the fact, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Where do you even begin with that night? Well, we'll start with the intro. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to what's going to be, I'm sure, an absolutely bonkers League of Ireland late night after an absolutely bonkers night in the men's Premier Division and some really interesting scores in the First Division tonight as well. It's Cameron Hill here. Hope you're looking forward to some really good chat from around the ground. So much to get into. So I'm going to just throw to good evening, Shane.
Cameron, you caught me on the hop there. Where was our lovely hold music tonight?
The hold music was there.
I couldn't hear it anyway. I can hear you perfectly, but I couldn't hear any hold music, whatever was going on.
Yeah, it's sick of your nonsense. That's all it is. It's too late now. Johnny, good evening.
And this isn't a good evening. This is a great evening, Cam. This is what a night. This had absolutely everything. You know, games with both teams scoring was just to beat the band. The magic that we saw on Tala. I was watching the game in Terryland. Moses Dyer to get four goals in the space of 4 days. And then Daly Mount as well. And honestly, like you're really blessed to be at home sometimes to watch this, because then you get interviews afterwards like Jack Burns, and that might even be the biggest talking point the whole night.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see what he was saying.
Whose team are joint top of the table, Cameron, huh?
Honestly, did you hear it, Shane?
I did, yeah, absolutely. He didn't mince his hip. For a start, he used very few words, fair play to him. But he certainly didn't mince his words either, did he? He's not a happy boy. And Ali, look, he clearly came on to the interview with a narrative to tell, I suppose. You know, they might have had a few, but I'm not sure. Did he get to into the dressing room first, or did he come straight to the cameras? He'd know better how these things work. But he had a message that he wanted to put across. That was very, very clear from his face before he ever opened his mouth. And I think he did it very well. And I think his manager would be very happy with what he said as well.
To be honest. I do wonder about that, Shane, to be honest. Like, I mean, I'm just trying to, you do so much in the Gaelic game side of things. And when you compare, like, what we're getting media-wise, when you think of, like, you're half watching these games to look forward to Damien Duff saying beforehand, reassuring people that Sean Boyd is out, but he hasn't fallen out with him, don't worry about it. And I'm kind of like, then I'm watching Shane Farrell in the game in Terryland thinking of that, but, like, you're almost like, what are Bradley going to say? And then Jack Brown comes on, and, like, he's basically saying, you're not at this club unless you book up your ideas. Not aimed at anyone, but I think he said, like, effectively schoolboy stuff, the goals we gave away. Really, really direct into you. Like, he was massively pissed off. He got man of the match. I'd give him a
max 7 out of 10 performance by his standards. I thought that some of his use of the ball wasn't actually great, but obviously he's that influential and he's that good. I did get man of the match, but I've seen him play much better. But Jesus, Cameron, like, that interview was, it was absolutely, like, loaded with points and kind of anger, and the reaction would be very interesting.
Yeah,
I'm almost tempted to just leave tonight's show here and have a listen before we get back to things, but can't do that, I'm afraid. Can't do that. I will go through the results if by some, I don't know how to miss any of the games tonight, but if you did, here's what happened. So, St. Patrick's Athletic 1, Bohemians 2, another last-minute winner in a Dublin derby for both, this time coming from Sean Graham to send them all the way up to the table. They have the most wins of anyone in the league this year. Who'd have thunk it? And they are sixth. They're looking much better, all right. And the scenes at full-time in Daly Mount were absolutely insane. Galway United, as Johnny has alluded to, 2 goals in quick succession, 3 minutes I counted, from Moses to turn over Drogheda United on the scoreline. Waterford, Paul Chamond getting his first goals in 5 games to sink Derry 2-1. And as we mentioned, 2-2 between Mark Rovers and Shelburne at Tallaght Stadium. In the first division, Bray Wanderers level on points now with Dundalk at the top of first division, courtesy of a 4-2 win over Kerry. Cove Ramblers were 3-1 winners over Finn Harps. Treaty United earned a 1-0 win at home to Athlone Town, while UCD earned a 1-0 win away to Wexford. So, Shane Keegan, you were obviously watching the game that was the televised game tonight, also the live commentary game for News Talk on Off the Ball with Jonathan Higgins and Richie Towell. I caught glimpses of this, but it was pretty cagey. First off, I think you have to say that despite a nightmare for the first goal, Conor Cairns acquitted himself pretty well later on.
Yeah, he did. It was a bit of a bombardment in the second half. But at the same time, like it's a really good point. It's a much better point for Shells than it is for Rovers, obviously, Cameron. 1-0 down at half-time, arguably your best player this season goes off early in the second half, and he was probably best player in the first half as well, but from what I've seen. You're up against it at that stage. For them to turn it around, look, I suppose essentially there will be a level of disappointment as well when you get yourself ahead in the game and still don't win it. There is there has to be a little bit of disappointment there. But it's a very good result for them. It's a very good result for them. And I think, you could hear in Damien that he was happy. The character that they showed in terms of the self-belief. Meepo again, I maybe question Meepo. I question him quite as hard as Roddy has questioned him, but I probably question Meepo's ability to deliver on a regular basis. He's had a very good few days, a very, very few days. As we say, 3 points between the top 7 is absolutely ridiculous. I think arguably even more ridiculous is 1 point between the top 5, Cameron. I mean, that is just insane. And we're not, it's okay, still relatively early days, but a third of the season through, you keep expecting this to kind of flatten out a little bit and the gaps start to appear. But the longer it goes on, the longer you're just made looking like a fool. Nobody has a clue what way it's going to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great summation of it. St. Pat's were top at one when they were leading against Bohemians and things so well for Drogheda United, and then they dropped off. Shamrock Rovers were up there. They were at the top at one point. And it's as you say, as you allude to, it is a mental table so far. And I think Gareth McGlynn was talking about it on the LOI pod this week, that you would have thought that maybe it was going to take shape. And last Friday, it really did feel like it was starting to, that there was certainly at least a top 5 and a bottom 5. And now it's been thrown into flux again. So, as you say, just going back to Shamrock Rovers, they mentioned it on the commentary on TV that while it's a massive, massive important result for Shelburne, even though it's their third in a row, it's 3 Dublin derbies in a row now for Shamrock Rovers and no wins. That must be quite concerning.
Yeah, look, and again, that's what Jack Doherty says in that interview. Jack Doherty says it. That's what Jack says in that interview. It's just, they're not happy. They can't be happy with how things have gone for them in the last while. I suppose when myself and Johnny talk about, Jack's interview and whether he said the right thing or said the wrong thing, I think maybe the difference in the way myself and Johnny are interpreting it is that I felt he was pointing the finger of blame at himself as much as he was anybody else. He kind of, to be honest with you, he kind of half looked like a fella who was nearly a little bit embarrassed to be getting the Man of the Match award. He was his usual neat and tidy self and, influential and constantly looking to unlock things. But, Keith Tracy goes out of his way after the game to point out the fact that Jack should have done a lot better for Meepo's goal in terms of getting out and closing down. I think it might have been Cameron Ledridge before he puts the ball in. And you know, for Jack, to me, is a guy who is, I think he does have, you know, high expectations of himself. And I think he will, I don't think he will have needed Keith Tracy to find that out. I think he will have known himself that that wasn't good enough. He also made the point that, what is it, they've scored two? Yeah. They've scored two goals in each of their last three games and still not won any of them. Like, that's, you know, and again, I when he says we're conceding too many goals, I don't think he's pointing the finger of blame at Dan Cleary. I mean, he spoke in his interview. He said something complimentary about Dan Cleary. You know, I'm sure he's not pointing the finger at Pico or at Lee Grace. He's pointing the finger at the team and the collectively conceding too many goals at the moment. But the only thing you'd say here, Cameron, is everybody's conceding too many goals. Well, not as far as we're concerned. We're loving it. But as far as their managers are concerned, everybody is conceding too many goals. There's not a single team who kept a clean sheet tonight across four games. I mean, it's brilliant, bonkers, but brilliant for us.
Yeah, like I think there was definitely a feeling going into tonight's game in Tala, and we'll get to the other games, I promise, in a second. By the way, if you do want to join in, I'm sure you all have plenty to talk about and plenty to say about tonight's game. So do hop on, hit that bottom left-hand corner of the microphone to request to speak. We will get to you as soon as possible. So much to talk about in the league. But just going back to Tala, Shane, I mean, the theme of the last couple of games for both Shamrock Rovers and Shane was get into a lead and somehow concede late. Like, it just seemed like whoever was going to outlast the other would have got all through tonight. And in the end, neither did.
Yeah. And look, when you go through the goals, I mean, the first one, you know, Conor Burns needs to be asking serious questions of himself. He really does. He's not in the greatest vein of form at the moment, actually. I would have questioned him over a few of the goals that they've conceded. I mean, obviously, he was outstanding last season. But a few of the goals they've conceded, he hasn't covered himself in glory. And I really don't look, I certainly was never a goalkeeper, or I wouldn't even really work closely with the goalkeepers that I've had at League of Ireland. You let somebody with a proper expertise get there, but you would wonder what he was seeing when he made that initial movement tonight. It was a really poor goal to concede. And I mean, again, you talk about, you know, Jack, you know, about the goals to concede. I mean, at the moment, you know, Damien Duff must be really, really questioning what's going on defensively for his team, because they were absolutely superb defensively last year, Cameron. They really, really were. You know, so hard to break down. It was like, you know, if you got one goal against a Shells team last year, you were celebrating and patting yourself on the back as having done very well. Whereas this season, you know, it's regularly conceding two goals at a time. So he's probably struggling to figure out why that is.
Well, maybe Shane Kennedy can figure that one out for us. He's on the line. Good evening, Shane. How are you?
No, I was just trying to jump on one later on this game instead of coming back to it later on. I'm sure he's going to move on to Galway.
Answer the question for us. What has changed? Is it personnel? Is it shape? Is it a team thing? What has changed in terms of why you're conceding more goals this year than last?
Yeah, it's definitely shape. 100%. We're very open. We're also missing
Andy Barrett, isn't it, really?
No, it's the change of shape. Like, Barrett hasn't really played in this formation yet to see if it's just him. Also, Temple is gone as well, so our natural centre halves. But then they wouldn't get the ball playing as much as the kind of lads that are in there now. They're more wing for fullbacks and Edwards, or else midfielder and Coyle. So I don't know if they play as forward passes, but definitely defensively. And also, I know like Cairns anticipates the shot though, but if you watch it back, no one's going to pick it up. Mark Hoyle's not proper centre half. You thought it under eight, don't turn your back. He turns his back on the shot, which creates the angle for the ball to go around him. Barrett or Sam Bowen, they probably throw their body at it, or else they just stand big and strong. Coyle turns his back on the ball, like, but Cairns is obviously the culprit, but the natural centre half to me just knows how to block a shot properly. Where I think Mark Hoyle in the middle of the pitch would just throw himself at that. But if you watch it back, Shane, it's a terrible goal by Coyler, I think, as well, as obviously Cairns thinks he's going to bend it the other way, which is probably why he takes the five steps left. And you could argue he should still need to get back there. But no, it's definitely a shape thing. We're so open. And I think our second goal, or was that our first goal, Ali Kilt's goal, has about 10 passes in it. We also don't do that. Like, it starts off in an own box. From what I remember JJ slipping in Ali Kilt, like, in our own box, like. So that doesn't happen last year either.
The one thing, Shane, is though they're playing so well in many other ways, like in possession, they look very, very dangerous.
Yeah, that's the main change. Yeah, that's 100% exactly. I just felt though tonight, though, I thought I knew it when we took Caird off and Bowen. We replaced him with Gano's all right, and then Ali Q comes on. So it's two biggish lads for one big lad. All right, as soon as we scored, I was like, get Martin on the pitch just for defensively. I'd like, defend this corner. They had obviously the bigger lads, and you knew it's that piece was going to kill us because we didn't have anyone there, enough players to like, compete with their big lads. And I have to say, I agree with Shane. I've no idea how Jack Warren got on the match. If you're going to base the 45 minutes, Ali Q got a goal and like part an assist in 45 minutes. He done more than Jack Warren did. Boy, that was just me. I don't know how he did, though.
Is there any early talk, Shane, as to what Kerr McEnroy's injury is or whether it's anything concerned about? Because obviously he's just been so good. It would be a big blow for you if he was going to be out for any period of time.
No, I think he tried to stay on, I think. I don't think he went straight off. But again, I said it last week, everyone's like, he's the best player in the league. We scored two goals when he went off. Chapman went on the right and he was able to come in on his left and he switches a lovely crossfield pass to Q for the goal. Hopefully he's not out too long because we're struggling on players though, but like, yeah, I don't want to say people are over whatever, but as I said last week, he came to the Scottish Championship.
Shane, another thing I found interesting, I don't know if you can see it from within the ground, there was a small bit of a square up between the benches at the final whistle.
I didn't see that. We know they got a yellow card each, but obviously they love to give managers yellow cards for little or nothing. But no, I didn't see that. We were tapping the players off, and that's on the other side of the pitch. So,
who would be on who on the Shells management kind of ball shaven head? I couldn't make out who the Shells member of staff was. No, I know Joey. No, it wasn't Joey. No, somebody in Cronin kind of squared up and had them start pushing and shoving, and Stephen MacPhail had to step in between them. I just thought it was another interesting part.
The Paul Skinner is the goalkeeping coach. He or David Matt could have been.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, yeah. Could have been Skinner. But anyway, yeah. That's what you want. I think we need that because sometimes against Rovers, it's a lot of friendliness with the Gafford and Bradley. And I think he tried to bring a bit of heat to it. But I don't know what it looked like. Well, it was a great game to watch. We think the ball was barely in the air to fall. Rovers definitely missed Gaffney, I think, or the physical presence up front. I think that's having the same problem with Keane. Newman was lively, but I mean, he was fairly handy. I think Coyler probably could have played centre half and started with better Gano or the better Bowen. But look, three games in a row, people are talking about Shells or Rovers, they just said two goals in three games. We've done the same. We scored two goals and defeated two goals.
It is very weird with Shells, Shane, because like, you imagine Joey O'Brien is kind of like, he's very frustrated by it because like, they're not really good goals they're giving away either, a lot of the time. They're just bad goals defensively.
Why is Gano not starting, Shane?
You wish?
Why is Gano not starting at the moment?
He played against Bowes and I watched the game back and he gives the ball away. He gives the ball away a lot on the ball. I don't think he's as comfortable on the ball as Mark Hoyle. And I think when I have the ball, he just kind of, I wouldn't say panics, but it could come down to one of the reasons why Rovers let him go. Against Bowes, he gave the ball away two or three times. He's trying to play in and again, he's the best defensive fullback in the league. But when you're trying to have more of possession and on the ball, I'm not too sure that's his strength. But tonight we were never going to do that, so we would have preferred him to play personally himself.
He's probably the one that suffers most from that shape change, isn't he? Because he's an out-and-out right back. He's not wonderful on the right of the tree, or he's not a right wing back. So he kind of needs you to go back to a back four, really, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, I don't think that's going to happen at all, though, because we weren't dominating tonight, obviously, but in spells we were able to get out. And as I said before in here, you're able to get out a lot easier if you have that tree at the back with the five-yard pass. And Rovers wanted four in a row with it, so I don't see why people would change it. Everyone seems to be playing it. Even Galway have gone to, I see, yeah, Johnny's mate got another two goals and they fair play to him.
Oh, yeah, I'm not exactly sure how long he's tied down for, but Jesus Christ, he's going to be hot property now. Like, he scored seven goals, he hadn't scored at home yet. Got two goals tonight, brilliant in general play. And, we basically need to talk a lot more about Galway tonight.
I believe, yeah, he'll be getting beside me, he'll get the 200 goals a lot quicker. Yeah, good. Right, I'll let you go and talk about Galway. Johnny's dying there, look, he's itching.
Shane, you're as good. Thanks so much for jumping on.
Thanks, lads. Don't know how Jack Warren got man the match, Shane. I agree with you. Thanks, lads.
Love the Shane just lobs it in there just before he goes every single time. It's always good. Next up, Jack Kelleher is standing by. Good evening, Jack. How are you?
Evening, lads.
So, you're generally Cork. So what were you keeping an eye on tonight? Or are you
was out in St. Coleman's Park tonight, lads, but I was also watching Cork City on Monday and was at the game Friday. So if there's any E1 updates, Cove, Cork City, anything, just fire it at us.
Tell us about Cove, because I suppose we, like, as recently as last week, we were talking about, gosh, Dundalk are head and shoulders above everyone here. It's just going to be another playoff, and the standard of the First Division looks not so great this year. Suddenly, Bray are level on points with the league leaders, and Cove are not doing too badly either. So what did you make of Cove tonight?
Cove tonight, I thought they were very impressive. I mean, they in the first half, they were in control of the game. They were creating a lot of chances. I mean, the ex-Cork City boys, Cian Bargary, Barry Coffey, it's clear to see that they've played in the side before, because, I mean, they're just telepathic, you know. They always know where each other are. Same with Cian Murphy up top. They created the much better chances. Harps looked very sluggish on the defensively. And they were, I mean, if you look at the second goal, David Bosniak assists Barry Coffey. And I pointed out that Finn Harps' defence has more holes than a hedgehog's pillow. I mean, it was schooled by stuff at times. But, you know, it was a good win for Cove. They weren't able to keep onto the clean sheet, but even in the second half, they were just able to take their foot off the gas and, you know, just manage the game out.
Yeah, they're flying at Jack, so they are. I thought they would do. I thought the squad that they've assembled was fantastic. I'd still, wouldn't be a huge amount of players still down there from when I was there, but I would still chat regularly, say, with Jason Abbott, Dale Holland, fellas like that. And we were actually kind of chatting in pre-season. I brought it back up here. I 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I sent a list. I was talking to Abbo, and I sent a list of 11 players that I felt between Cork City, Waterford United, and then there was one or two others thrown in that I thought might be available for them to go after. And I was thinking if they got a couple of them, two or three of them, they'd really be in it. They actually signed 7 of the 11 names that we discussed, which is...
Have you charged for that, Shane?
And if not, why not?
Consultancy invoice on the way, so there is. But no, look, they've put together a really strong squad. Now, obviously, there's the issues going on in the background over the ownership and whether the FC32 are going to be or not involved. I don't know if they officially stepped away. If they have stepped away and they were due to be putting money in, is there question marks over, you know, whether they can continue to afford this squad over the rest of the season. But if there's no issues, if there's no financial issues and they're able to maintain that squad for the season and there's no kind of, you know, question marks financially over the club, I really think they could kind of push Dundalk all the way, or if not that, at least head into the playoffs as strong favourites. As well and all as Bray are going, if you match Bray and Cove up man for man, I think Cove have the better side.
Yeah, no, I mean, Bray are unbelievable. They've won 7 on the bounce there, you know. It's sensational what they've done. But I think it's definitely going to be, from what I've seen, it's definitely going to do Cove Rangers and Bray Wanderers for that playoff spot. And I think that's going to be very interesting, because Bray were 5th of the table going into today, but, I mean, Cove are head and shoulders above them, you know. And just to take it away from Cove for a minute, lads, because we didn't have space on Monday, lads, what a feeling. Kit Nelson will forever go down in my heart. Oh my God, lads. Absolute scenes down in front of Gossard on the right wing. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, he's a super little player, Jack. I've been really, really impressed with him so far. I was surprised he wasn't in the starting 11, but when you look at it, I suppose the short turnaround, and he had started, I would say, almost every game up until now, I'd say it was just a case of him to give his legs a rest. But when he came in, he certainly had a brilliant impact. And, you know, I know he gets plenty of talk, but I'm going to give him more talk. You know, I just thought Cathal O'Sullivan was brilliant. Gets brought down for the penalty. This is the second goal.
The first time I kind of saw that much from Shane. What a player.
Yeah. And look, we're going to have to enjoy him, because he's out of here, you would think, come June, July. So, you know, it's absolutely madness for people, not just Cork City fans, but, you know, if you're a football fan and you're kind of, you know, not maybe completely, although we're kind of preaching to the choir here, aren't we? We hardly have too many callers or people listening who aren't League of Ireland diehards, but you need to tell some of your non-League of Ireland diehards to get down and watch this kid before he's gone.
Oh, Jesus, all my friends that are with the violent fans have been telling me to shut up about Cathal. The first time I came across Cathal was actually when they were playing your side, Shane, in the Munster Senior Cup back in 2023.
That's right. I think that was his competitive debut for the club.
That was his competitive debut, yeah, you're correct. And I remember going out of that game, and I remember saying to lads, they didn't go, and I said, lads, this number 43, Cathal O'Sullivan, this kid's unbelievable. And I mean, we all had a feeling, amongst the fan base, I don't think many people, we all had a feeling, Cathal might start first game with Kerry last season. And I mean, like, a lot of people, I saw a lot of people stick to Tim Clancy's comments with Mason Mead goes for 2 million pockets worth days or 10. I'll be honest, lads, Tim was spot on. Like, now it's going to be unpopular. I just think talent wise and footballing ability, Conor Sullivan is a better player than Mason Mead. I'm telling you, like, Conor Sullivan is the type of player which puts bombs on seats. He's the player that makes you fall in love with football under every process. Just listen. Lads who are unbelievably driven and technical and talented. You know? These are the lads which make football run away with it. Such a great game to watch.
That's the thing about at the minute as well. Like, you're looking at Michael Noonan tonight. I know Shane was kind of, he was a bit critical of him and maybe didn't get him, but like, he was a real threat and should have scored. You see Reece Brennan getting the winner in Tallaght the other night, and you see Cahill playing as well as he did Monday night, and they're just to name three really, really young players, like young Irish players who are really making a name in the league, and it's class to see that. That's, you know, when if you ever get sick of football as well, and you look at the League of Ireland, these young kids coming through, and what it meant to Reece Brennan on Monday night, and Cahill O'Sullivan, how good he is for Cork City.
Yeah, I mean, it's a league on the rise, you know, and I think fair play, I mean, the academies are producing, especially down in Cork City. I mean, it doesn't get talked about enough. Like, Ben Dunnigan, God bless his soul, was about to make Hoppenholm, you know, and he obviously had that heart condition, so he had to retire in the end. But, I mean, David Dobby, by many reports, is off to Monaco. I mean, Jacob Ryan flourishing at Everton. I mean, also now with Victor Asher Buna and Chad Ross, I mean, it's a league on the rise, lads, and I think we just have to enjoy it, yeah? Because I mean, these young players, we're not going to get older and fill out, but we need to just enjoy it.
Not to accuse you of going down the Shane route there, but you're definitely preaching to converted in terms of this audience, Jack, but it's a great note to end on. We'll leave it there for you tonight. Thanks so much for jumping on.
Perfect, lads, cheers.
Seagull Chad is standing by because I cannot wait to get his thoughts on what happened at the Carlisle grounds tonight. But we have to go to Matthew, Bohemians fan, after what was an unbelievable finish to things in Dalymount Park. Matthew, welcome to League of Ireland Late Night. How are you keeping?
Sure. Not too bad. Not too bad after that.
Perfectly understated. I mean, just talking through, because I'm like, everyone knows the goal now, and I just caught the end when they got the winner, but there was a penalty just before that was not given. I mean, it sounded...
It was a stonewaller. Like, I didn't actually manage to get to the game today because I had a game of my own tonight, so I didn't actually catch the first half at all or even the second half. But I was watching it and I was just thinking, how in the name of all that's holy did you not give that? It was a stonewaller of a penalty to end all stonewallers. It's just completely... But look, I'm not really going to let that... Like, yeah, we were trying to be robbed, but... It would just show great resolve again. And like, from about the hour mark where I started watching, it seemed like we were playing the same way we did against Rovers, except this time, you know, we were nearly actually getting, you know, goal troubling at Nang. And in fairness to Alan Reynolds, you know, he's come under some rightful criticism, I thought, you know, before, say, the win against Cork or whatever. But he's actually changed the way we're playing now. We're actually playing more progressive attacking football, one that like is actually kind of yielding some sort of, if not goal, some goal chance. And that's, we're looking really dangerous, I think. And
if you go back to this time last week, just over this time last week, 5 minutes after, so you know, struggling to beat Cork City, struggling to create a chance, go 1-0 up, Cork City miss a sitter 5 or 6 minutes into injury time, losing late on against Shamrock Rovers, losing late on against Pats, get 9 points out of it. Like, this is absolutely bonkers.
It is, but I think we took some very valuable lessons from the Cork game. Like, the Cork game, I said it, I was on a podcast last night, but I said like that 9 times out of 10, Cork had strikers. If Keating was fit, if Maguire was fit, Cork would have won that game easily, hands down. Like 99 times out of 100 chances they created with the rubbish football we played, I thought 99 times out of 100 Cork City win that game. They've since a little bit of a bounce back themselves, obviously winning the Munster Derby on Monday or whatever, but I do think we took some very valuable lessons from that game. We did not play well at all. And despite the winning, I did hear on the broadcast, there was like a tinge of like unease. Like Monday, we were brilliant. Like, it was just the fact that we had no striker on the pitch that we weren't creating anywhere near the amount of goal chances we should have with the attacking play we were having. And then when Colin Whelan came on Monday, he was outstanding because it meant then that John Mountney wasn't running up and back and forward and stuff, so he could actually hold a defensive line and the striker could do his job, and that ultimately played dividends when, you know, he was involved in such key kind of moments. And then obviously tonight, again, I didn't watch most of the game, but the last 3 minutes I thought we were fantastic. We were all over Pats. They did not create one iota of a chance, and I suppose that was just down to how we were set up. And I have to give Alan Reynolds credit. He's turned it around, and look, I think he has come under rifle criticism over the past year in terms of our style of football, but it seems to have finally clicked, and it's amazing as well to see our own lads, the likes of Reece Brennan, the likes of Sean Graham, the likes of Ralph Cornwall, all coming through and providing those key moments for us, Ross Tierney as well. Like, it's fantastic to see, like, our own lads we've brought through the academies or whatever, big moments for us. And it just proves that, you know, like, there's just such a solid base there that we can start tapping into. Just a fantastic weekend. Look, Waterford at home next Friday, be an absolutely massive game. There'll be a massive buzz about that game. I just know it. And Alan Reynolds has done really, really well, in fairness, to turn it around. And now we're only like 3 points off top. And also, just to note, 3 points separate first and seventh. So just a mad night all around.
Matthew, it's amazing that I think you had a 12-month run where there was no wins at Daily Mount, and now you're looking at maybe winning 4 in a row at home. That's astounding.
So your stat there is actually kind of wrong. That stat was referring to, we had only had one league win at home since April 2024, prior to the game against Sligo. That was that one game was like in September or something against Shamrock Rovers. That was the one that was moved to the morning, if you'll remember. There now seems to be a bit of a fear I was coming to Daily Mount. I'm not sure, you know, like Sligo, yeah, fair enough, they were a bit rubbish. Cork City, like, again, if they had strikers, they would have won that game. But we're starting to go on a positive spell here. And look, I hope it's not just a flash in the pan. As I said, Alan Reynolds has done well to get stuff out of it. And it's clear the players like Alan Reynolds and they want to play for him. And I think I could kind of put that sort of fear of him getting sacked there as actually liking Alan Reynolds as a big reason that they're playing so well. Hopefully it isn't just a spell, and hopefully they actually like do continue to show why Alan Reynolds has put faith in them. But again, like the young lads coming through, McManus, Brennan, Graham, you know, all of whom provide such big moments for us. Just outstanding, fantastic, and very, very happy right now. And yeah, it's turned from it looking like a very bad season to a very positive season now. 3 points off top. I know we're sixth, but that's just like down to goal difference and down to a shaky start. But yeah.
Yeah, I think we've had enough Bulls Rover shells. We need to talk about Go United.
No, we're gonna push this boat out for as long as possible, Johnny. Matthew, very good. Thank you very much.
Cameron,
thanks very much.
Cameron, I love the fact that the word bad began with an SH there for a long time. It looked like we were gonna have a very bad
I'm going to annoy Johnny further because now we're going to talk about Bray. Seagull Chad is standing by. Good evening, Seagull. How are you?
I'm glad. I'm having a can of 7-Up.
Wow.
To celebrate 7 on
after
the trot.
10. Wow.
Seagull, before you give us the actual rundown on Bray and the ridiculous form that they're in, I just clarify something here to see, did it genuinely happen or is it just the app gone a little bit mad? Did Kerry make a triple substitution after 16 minutes?
No, they didn't. They made one after 14 minutes.
A triple substitution.
Now, in fairness, one of those was an injury, but we were 2-0 up after 9 minutes. So
I've never seen that in my life before. I think that's hilarious.
Listen, I'll give them credit because they did. They were shocking for those first 12 minutes, and they weren't equal to us, but they were much improved after they made subs. But yeah, no, I'm sure Stato LOI or whoever will confirm it, but I'm sure that's the earliest triple sub that's ever been made.
That is cutthroat.
Yeah, well, it worked for them though. I mean, it was they actually had a decent, not compared to us, but a reasonable threat that had to be dealt with all game. I mean, we were 3-0 up and cruising in the 82nd minute, and then in the 89th minute it was 3-2. So anyway, we Kean Curtis put a brilliant finish at the end to win it. But no, I mean, listen, it's a combination of just an incredible run of form. I mean, if Paul Heffernan has to be manager of the year across both divisions, if we even remotely keep this up, even with a small drop off, he is way overperformed expectations.
What has he done, Siegel?
He's literally done everything. I mean, it's hard to, there isn't one particular thing, but he's been, the team plays a very, you know, not quick, but very loose, let's just call it, system. You know, players tend to not stick to their positions, and it always seems that are in the transition, the players have plenty of space to get the ball and to move around. But I mean, clearly he's, regardless of tactics, he's just a brilliant leader as well. Because again, the players putting 100% in every single time.
Yeah, I would give a mention there as well, Siegel. I'm sure Paul is the main man. I wouldn't know him as well, but one man I would know that is involved there is Gavin Tian, and he is a really, really excellent coach. So I'd imagine he's getting a bit of an imprint there as well, in terms of what they're doing. But like you say, the form, my God, they're just absolutely flying, and so many exciting youngsters in the side, Siegel. You know, you look through that lineup and there's, even again today, you know what, 3-4 players, teenagers, maybe another one or two if you extend it up as far as under 21. Who are the ones who have caught your eye?
I mean, he struggled to stay firmly in the squad, but not recently anymore. But Kean Doyle has been unbelievable. Man of the match tonight, rightly so. When I was talking about the transition, he's always at the core of it. Ball goes through him so often, but he's also a brilliant defensive player as well. Like he's bailed out the defense several times as well, because he's just brilliant at holding players up and nipping the ball off them. Kean Curtis tonight as well, he came on as a sub. He's been iffy with his fitness, but he put in a really good finish tonight, and he has great potential. I mean, he dealt with a few injuries last season at Wexford as well, and he's still got 10 goals. So he's definitely one to watch for future. Billy O'Neill has been playing a huge part of the improvement. Has been Billy O'Neill, who's usually plays up front, has been playing out on the wing, which is not a natural position for him all, but he has been fantastic. I don't think he's ever played in that position before. And he's, for the past couple of games, that's where he's been playing, and he's been unbelievable. I think he got 3 assists tonight. He definitely got 2. I think the third one might technically not be an assist, but give it to him anyway. But no, he's been a force to be reckoned with. And of course, Ferrazai as well. We knew how he was. That he was very talented, because he was being fettered by Lazio before he came to us. Of course, two very equal teams, and he's been fantastic on his side as well. He's played on the opposite side of Billy O'Neill, and he plays a bit further behind him. He tends to like to get the ball at the edge of the box and move around with it. But listen, I could. Because the thing is, it's such a young squad, I could literally, it would actually be easier and albeit a lot meaner to point out the players who aren't prospects than the players who are. So,
Who in their right mind would choose Lazio over Bray? That's all I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Do you also have an eagle handler who was fired under dubious means, Siegel?
Well, we've had a few people who have been fired under dubious means, not necessarily an eagle man.
Bray have been more related to North Korea than far right Italian politics, to be fair.
Obviously, yes. It's going to be 8 years this July, June, I think, since that statement.
Still we'll have to celebrate.
How time flies. But listen, again, we're playing Cove next week, and that's going to be a big, big game as to who's the. Not necessarily title race challenger elect, but as to who, who's the team that's going to annoy Dundalk elect.
Yeah, that's a tasty one in the first division next week. Siegel, we'll talk to you after that one, I'm sure. Thanks for jumping on.
Certainly. Cheers, lads.
Gavin Smith is up next. Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you, Gavin? So, you make the affair at Daily Mount tonight?
Absolutely amazing. In the second half, we were the better team. I want to ask you a question. Do you think that was a penalty? For me, that wasn't a penalty.
I'd have to watch it back. I only saw the highlights afterwards. It looked a bit harsh, but I don't know what you thought, Shane.
I haven't seen it at all yet, actually, no.
But I have to say that we showed grit and determination in the last half an hour. Like, Pats offered nothing. But once me equalizers are told we got to win it, and we did, and to win again tonight and on Monday's been the best week I could ever recall being a Bulls fan. I gave Bulls no hope over the last two games, but I have to give Ant-Man his credit. He's turning it around, and if we beat Waterford next week, then we're going to the game then on the back Monday against Galway, so we can win the next two games. Oh, I tell you what, I can see us getting European football.
Gavin, what happened with Pats? I was talking to neutral at the game, who reckoned, you know, Kenny made changes with about half an hour to go, and things went backwards thereafter.
For me, the sending off of Andrew Breslin changed the game for me. But I have to say, the ref tonight and the referee among the world is great. The referees in the league are fine. We need to go back to referee schools, because some of the referees in this league are just an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, I think it's not on the team, but I suppose we'll have to watch that incident back to see. We'll make our own minds up as to whether it was a penalty. But Gavin, thanks so much for jumping on. I know you were waiting a while there, so thanks for popping on.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Crafted for speed. Tested and worn by Bukayo Saka. The New Balance Furon V8 refines the ultra lightweight, precision, strike focused design for an even greater sense of speed. A new speed control stud is designed to support control during sudden stops, sharp pivots, and moves used by the fastest players on the pitch, like Saka himself. Experience engineered minimalism crafted to support explosive movement and the sharpest of touches. Learn more and purchase a Furon at newbalance.com/soccer.
All right, Johnny, we better give you your wish. Kian O'Connell is there, and I know for a fact commentating on the game down in Amon DC tonight. So, Kian, you and Johnny can take away.
Well, I have to introduce Kian. I think Kian may have broken broadcasting history when he said, and I quote, as Moses got the first goal, on Faros, Nua Hayland, is it? Would that be right?
No, well, Johnny, sure. I'm pretty sure
you have the wrong Kian O'Connell.
You do, unfortunately. in a tiny diagram of reporters on Galway United, there are two of us. The other one has done a lot more than I have, but I'm sorry to disappoint.
Kian, what a night.
What a night is right, yeah, absolutely. I think one of many, you know, brilliant performances so far this season, and just another sign of how unstoppable Moses Dyer is at the spear of that attack. It just all seems to be going very right at the moment, doesn't it?
Yeah, the mad thing, Cameron, was Moses, who hasn't scored at home, he hit the crossbar with the bat. Like, it was a chance you'll miss at times, but it was a safer miss than right time.
I couldn't believe this, Johnny. Couldn't believe it.
And maybe 10 minutes later, he scored twice. The first goal, you know, he shows his kind of quality for the goal. And the second goal, Stephen Walsh is making his 300 league appearance. A brilliant header on. And like Jamie Hestua, he's this lovely, the way he hits the ball is kind of like a golf shot at times, when he puts his instep into the ball and kind of has backlift of the ball, but into the box, lovely wave across. And Walsh, it's just a kind of a simple knockdown, but a really good knockdown into a good area. And he and Moses, as much as Walsh has been quiet before the goal, they've shown like good telepathy at times. And Moses sneaks in, and like, oh my god, I would love to be there to hear the roar. Like, the two teams now join top, and this was a massive come from behind win after looking like we were going to lose to Shells. You know, it's just a brilliant draw, and probably maybe deserves something out of the game. But like, Moses is going to be some, and he's going to be really, really wanted. But I have to say, Walsh, I thought Keane, he deserves a lot of credit as well.
I'm glad you mentioned him, absolutely. And I'm not sure if his substitution was actually an enforced one, or if it was planned to come on around that time, because there was an injury that resulted in him coming on. And it was brilliant to see. There have been some kind of questions asked of Walshy in recent games, and I suppose that the quality that we have have now with Dyer up there. You know, it highlights some of his limitations, but Jesus, that was a fantastic cameo from him. And as you said, the link up between the two of them up top, I mean, there was another opportunity. The one that hit the bar actually from Dyer, that was set up by Walsh as well. He worked so hard always, but it's great when they have that connection and that link. It shows its value. And you drew attention to Essua there on the right. He's been fantastic. And Burns on the other side too.
It was funny. Essua really struggled against Michael Duffy last week. Didn't play on Monday, but like you can see tonight, he's had an outstanding. That was the one night he really struggled. He's had an outstanding season.
Yeah, I think both of them really benefit from the system, Burns and Essua. I mean,
100%.
They really just fly up and down those lines and both outlets constantly and know exactly, I guess you mentioned that sort of, the style of cross that Essua produces. Both seem to have a very consistent style of delivery that is lofted in often, taking advantage of obviously the height we have in those areas. Really encouraging both of them in that system. I don't know what we would really do without either on either side.
Yeah, and the thing is, Shane will know as well, when your United system of playing three at the back means that they're very comfortable with balls into the box. And it was Markey who got a goal. It was really sort of speculative enough, nicely hit shot. I don't know if Clarkey, maybe he probably didn't get as close or maybe as he could have, but I don't think we were a bit blinded by the shot. It was kind of a curl into the corner, but it was one of these sort of balls that dropped at the edge of the box. It was a sloppy goal for CBA.
Yeah, it was good. I thought it was very right, Johnny. I think you're underselling Markey there. I thought, I thought it was right in the corner. Like you say, it comes through a lot of bodies. But I did think it was a super strike. Just I'm only reiterating what you're saying, but like I would say, if that was almost any other forward in the league, that ball goes out and goes wide for goal kick. The ball that Watchy manages to keep alive, like he gets up so well to keep that ball alive, and not only keep it alive, but essentially steer it in the right direction. Watching the goal, I thought he deserved massive credit for it.
Yeah, absolutely. He certainly did. And I think you're right there that the Markey goal was a really good strike, really neat finish and kind of instinctive almost, even though it was from distance, the way he reacted to that ball breaking and just knew exactly what he wanted to do with it.
Cian, it must be very uplifting because like so much of last year's talk around Galway United was they're very hard to break down. They're an incredibly good defensive team, maybe a bit one-dimensional. And some of that was unfair. I mean, again, preaching to the converted here, I don't think I need to tell anybody that Johnny has been singing Stephen Walsh's praises for quite some time. But now they have those attacking players and they're able to really showcase them, particularly in that second half. Because I watched the first half tonight and I thought Drogheda were all over Galway. And I thought this is going to be tough. And Greg Cunningham went off. It was going to be a really difficult night. Moses Dyer can pull it out of the bag, but something about Galway this year that they can strike quickly and are able to protect the lead. It must be very encouraging.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think in times gone by, you may have had more of a fear when Galway go a goal down about getting into a game like that, especially against a really obviously strong defunit like Drogheda. But you're right, second half was so impressive. Just had them penned in up until that, queer brace from Dyer. And I think there's a lot, like Galway is a team full of giants, really, and players that clearly have huge physical strengths, but are maybe underappreciated technically. Hickey is maybe the biggest example of that. One of the best players in the league with the ball at his feet, and that maybe isn't appreciated just because of how much of a beacon he is and the size of him. The likes of Walsh as well has always been underappreciated, I suppose, in what he offers to a team, but Galway fans have known that for a very long time, and I think you can see there's such a good feeling around the club at the moment that wins like that are just make fans so proud because they're so hard fought.
Yeah, I was sagging over Ken and saying how many goals he could have scored for Galway United if he were playing up front all his career, but people need to realise that he barely played up front at all for us early in his career, and then sort of in latter years when he started banging goals, regardless of how daft or otherwise the statement was, his work off the ball is massive for this team. It's absolutely massive the way he defends the line from the top, and that at every stage of the pyramid system got United are very hard to play against because they work so hard. And Walsh, he's still a very, very clever baller. I'd actually say that was a brilliant header on for the goal. Like, it was very, very good intuition to get the ball into that position, and like it was a massive to me.
I'd also like to point out, as I do regularly, that I've seen Stephen Walsh playing goal for Galway. Merview as they were at the time, I think. What a man.
Absolutely, yeah, well, it's great to see him getting his flowers.
Absolutely. Cian, thanks so much. I will get the other Cian O'Connell. It's obviously the next Barry Murphy in terms of, there seems to be so many of them, but thanks so much for jumping on.
Thanks, lads, appreciate it. All right, thank you.
I think we'll take one more. So Seb Lennon will give us the other aspects of the United derby tonight. You're a Drogs fan, Seb. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Can you hear me, lads?
Can hear you perfectly.
Thanks.
There. So
dusting the car on the way home.
yeah, a long trip up, I'd say. So we're happy to keep you on as long as you need. But I mean, it's
draw. They were good tonight. They were good tonight, Ken.
They were. They were really good in the first half, Seb.
Yeah. I don't know. The first half, I thought we were like Yusuf say. I thought we were all over them. I thought we had so many chances that we should have been up kind of before we even scored. I mean, Conor Keighley had two headers. Thomas Alou had a one-on-one with the keeper. I just thought we looked up for it. As in the physicality. Like, I mean, the size of some of the Galway lads, and I just thought we were really, really up for it. And then second half, we just couldn't. That first 10 minutes. I mean, Galway came out and played fantastic. Like, those first 10 minutes, Drogheda couldn't breathe. You could just see. But I wouldn't say, I just wouldn't think, yeah, I just thought we couldn't get our foot in the ball, couldn't control anything. The first goal was a great goal in terms of, and like, I mean, great ball into the box and a great header, but it was disappointing. And I haven't listened to Kevin's interview, but I know the first thing he'll be saying is about defending. And those two balls into the box were, as in, it was defending. I thought the goalkeeper was poor. And I thought the defending was quite poor. As in, I don't know if you, obviously that second goal you have seen just before that, goal basically came from the goalkeeper Luke Dennison kicking the ball. It went straight up into the air, controlled in the midfield by the Galway player, launched into the box. The two lads couldn't deal with it, and Dennison was quite far off his line. I thought, I don't know, maybe that's just me being harsh, but two goals in quick like succession was quite poor. But other than that, I personally thought that we were still in it then. With 20 minutes to go, 50 minutes to go, we created enough chances to score. Warren Davis there at the very end had a chance to score. Great defending though by Galway in general, but I thought it, from my perspective, I thought it was an even enough match. But I thought it,
as you'd expect, we're two top of the table sides.
I suppose we don't get what we deserve all the time, I suppose.
Yeah, I think like we talk about the goals and maybe the defence there, but I really do think you were unlucky not to be 2-0 up at half time, because if Conor Keighley doesn't overrun that header,
hello,
in clear space at the far post, it just doesn't get enough on it, but that should have been a goal, surely.
I think he's gone better. Yeah.
He's logged off. But just, yeah, I think Drogheda will feel there's a lot of rude chances, especially when they were so, they'll rude the chances they missed in the first half, because like they were swarming Galway, and Galway didn't really get a foothold until the second half. Johnny, where do Galway sit now? Because like that's the first win in three, I think, at M&EC Park. That's a big result that they got tonight, and it probably rescues what might have been a bumpy time for them.
Yeah, like the Derry game was probably the one game this season where, you know, United would say, yeah, second best. And I know the Keane Byrne dismissal was massive, but Derry were the better side. You can see Derry tonight losing Waterford, so maybe that puts that into context, but really responded. And ultimately last season, like, we didn't have that proper regular goal scorer, and the quality of the goals Moses is getting, like, he should have had a hat-trick tonight if you want to look at it that way, and that's been a massive difference. Like, we're second in the table, there's no fluke about that. You know, the difference between top and seventh is absolutely ridiculous. I said this at the start of the season, I think this will be ridiculously tight from top to bottom, teams able to beat each other, but Moses' addition has been huge. Like, you know, trying to find a striker, everyone said last season they're not there, they found this absolute hurler, like, you know, a fellow who scored for New Zealand, has 11 international caps, he was available, the scouting system worked unbelievably well, and you know, it was an even game. A lot of our games are very, very even, but now we can score goals, and it is hashtag the greatest league in the world this year for many, many reasons, and Galway United's resurgence is top for me at the moment anyway.
Cameron, just on Drogheda, like, it's their first kind of real blow. So it is, like, the season has been going incredibly well for them. And look, let's be honest, they have come out on the right side of some tight games where you could argue they were second best and managed to pull off the win. So for once, I suppose this is maybe the first time the shoe has been on the other foot. But what's really interesting for me is their next two games. So their next two games are Sligo and Cork City. So arguably for the first time this year, they're now going to be heading into two games where they're actually favourites to win both, and that there'd be a sense of disappointment around the club if they weren't to go and pick up 6 points from those two games and keep themselves right up around the top. So it'll be interesting to see how the management and how the players deal with that side.
Yeah, and Seb, I think everybody's talking about those two games and how well Drogheda have started this year's league, and everyone is saying that if they get a couple more wins, like, safety is pretty much done. So, like, what are the ambitions now among the fan base as to how far this Drogheda team can go?
to be honest, it's quite hard to know. I personally, I remember after one or two of the games, like one of the lads said, and who's second and stuff. I couldn't care less who's second. We need to keep focusing on trying to get as far away from the bottom as possible. And until I think we're mathematically safe, if Kevin, you would have bit your hand off at the start of the year to be safe, to be honest with you, in terms of just keeping the club growing, the positive feeling, the investment that's coming in and going from there. But obviously now we've started well, we obviously want to continue well. Tonight, I think there actually was a feeling there when we were leaving, we were disappointed. Whereas I feel like last season and stuff, you know, we come up to Galway and we go away saying, hopefully we get something and if not, your luck. Whereas tonight there was a bit of an expectation where, look, we're going to give them a bit of a game, which I thought we did, which is good. But obviously now it's Sligo and Cork, it'll be interesting to see. I think we need to win. Obviously, it's very early in the stage, but to be quite ambitious, we need to win those next two games. And I feel like we can, so we'll see.
And I'll probably ask Shane to give his thoughts on this in a second, but everyone's been talking about Kevin Doherty's contract situation. Like, he's in the last year of his deal. Is there anything on the Drogheda side in terms of whether something's going to get over the line?
Give the man whatever he wants, whatever he names, they may give him, because he's completely fantastic. And I think I read something today, Comedy, he done an interview with Barry Landy, who works very well with for Drogheda United, like a journalist, and he was saying that, you know, it's less about the managers. He hears a lot of talk about managers and stuff, but it's on the footballers. Like, he's brilliant, just the way he leads the club and what he's done for us and the fans, even there tonight, like losing, you could tell he was frustrated, but he came over and took the time at each and every one of the he was brilliant. So I said, give him whatever he wants. And to be honest with you, I've heard nothing. That they were waiting to see what's stored up. But I mean, give the man whatever he wants is what I say.
Yeah, I think a lot of fans would agree with you there, Seb. Thanks for jumping on and best of luck on the ride home. Shane, what is Kevin Doherty do? Does he stick around? Because this has been an amazing project. He managed to keep them up and defy all expectations last season. He's obviously defied everyone's expectations and then some already this year. So, what does he do? Wait and name his price? Or is he looking at maybe some of the other clubs and maybe some of the other vacancies that might be coming up soon?
Yeah, it's a hard one. It is a hard one. I don't think the name your price will come into it, really. It all depends, I suppose, on what Kevin's ambitions are and whether he feels those ambitions can be satisfied at Drogheda United or not. You know, speaking from experience, sometimes making the jump to something that looks, you know, shinier and better, maybe, you know, can come back to bite you in the arse a little bit. If you are very, very happy with the support you're receiving at board level, if you've got strong relationships there, he quite obviously has strong relationships with both the fans and the players. You know, sometimes staying where you are can be the best move. Now, look at water and you look at somebody like you know, at Ipswich with Kieran McKenna, and you think, oh, Jesus, when all those offers came from, he probably should have gone. He's nearly back to square one. And there is that side of it as well. I am very surprised the Drogheda have allowed it to reach this situation, to be honest with you, Cameron. You know, they are a club that seems to have done really, really business over the last few years. But, yeah, this shouldn't be a conversation. Manager, absolutely incredible. And if you've got a manager at your club who's working wonders in the manner that Kev is, you know, you should have these sort of things tied up long before it ever becomes a talking point. So kind of create a rod for their own back now, and it's going to be interesting to see what way it plays out.
Yeah, it will be all right. We'll keep abreast of that and keep abreast of everything else that's happening in League of Ireland land. I'm really sorry to everybody else who's waiting to call. We'll have to leave it there tonight. We are bang out of time. But thank you so much for your patience. Thanks for hopping on, guys. Thank you, Shane.
Cheers, Cameron.
Thanks, Johnny.
Cheers, Cameron.
Just to take you through what's happening the rest of the weekend. So there is a Premier Division match of Sligo Rovers in Cork City to look forward to tomorrow from 7:45. There's also the First Division clash between Longford Town and Dundalk. That's at 7:30. Next week, Off the Ball are down at Turner's Cross for Cork City against Shamrock Rovers. That's our live commentary game over on the Off the Ball app. So much to look forward to between now and then, I'm sure. We didn't even get to it tonight, but I'm sure the lads on Football Saturday tomorrow afternoon on News Talk from 3 o'clock will be talking about Victor Osienfuna and what it means for the league. Just to go through what's happening next week, so as I mentioned, Cork versus Rovers. There's also Bohemians against Waterford, we mentioned earlier. Derry City are at home to Shelburne. We've Sligo against Drogheda and Pats against Galway, a renewal of the Stephen Kenny, John Caulfield dynamic, we'll call it. Thank you so much to everybody who listened. League of Ireland Late Night, I should mention, is brought to us by, in partnership with our good friends at Rockshore on Off the Ball, a league of our own. Get the fact, be drink aware, drinkaware.ie. We will have another show for you next week, Maybank holiday. Until then, have a great weekend and we'll talk to you soon.
Off the Ball, in partnership with Rockshore.
bringing you League of Ireland football, a league of our own. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.